to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the radio show, everybody, the Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning little broadcast here from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. And as I say at the top of every hour, we are also syndicated by the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com. We're going out to their AM and FM affiliate stations across the country, in addition to our little flagship here, AM 1380 in Memphis. James Edwards here, along with Winston Smith, and time does go by. It marches forward without stop. It never hastens, it never slows, and we are now at the top of our third and final hour of the year. Another year, Winston, in the books as we continue on tonight. 2009, gone in the blink of an eye. It just seemingly opens by too fast all the time for me. It's just amazing how quickly time flies and those pages just flip and flip and flip off the calendar. And now, come next week, we will officially be in what will be our sixth year of broadcasting here in the Political Cesspool. It all seems unbelievable, doesn't it?
I don't think it seems unbelievable. It's the time is ripe for something like the Political Cesspool. People are starting to think, and probably in large measure because of the Political Cesspool, but people are starting to think. They're starting to put things together. They're starting to question things. They're starting to question sacred dogmas like the sacred sex million, and they're starting to wonder. Or actually, many people are absolutely convinced that our government is our enemy. And, the political cesspool is both the result of the times and also a shaper of the times. So I'm not really amazed at the meteoric rise of the broadcast.
But no, I'm not necessarily amazed, although I'm pleasantly pleased, to use the word twice, but it wasn't that was so astonishing to me. It's just how quickly it's all gone by. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, there is, as they say, nothing like an idea whose time has come. And in addition to being at the right place at the right time, we have the right message. And we have a little bit of talent. I think you put all those ingredients together and you just have a supernova type of blast. And we have certainly grown over the years, and now it brings us to what has been a very fun show tonight, a little bit again, and when you're in the midst of the holidays, the Christmas season, we do things a little differently, particularly as we round out another year. We have, obviously, the last hour of the program last week, we were talking about Christmas, which is something we always do and always will do, and tonight, as we cap off the year, we don't have any featured guests, but we are having a very dynamite show. During the first hour, Keith Alexander covered a couple of topics with his normal flair and panache. Tonight, during the second hour, you just heard Winston cap off the 10 most hateful comments uttered in 2009. And now we're doing something that we do at the end of every year, and that is the top 10 most memorable moments of the political cesspool. And these are all things that are positive. These are all things that are good. Good things that happened, good things that have stood out in our mind over the course of the last year and the last year alone. Now, Winston was solely responsible for preparing the top 10 list, and I couldn't have bettered it if I tried. I think he did an absolutely phenomenal job, and that is certainly an hour for the archives there.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But in all sincerity, I couldn't have bettered it. You really outdid yourself on that one. And now I have prepared the top 10 list. In my opinion, the top 10 most noteworthy things that have occurred for this radio program over the course of the last 12 months. So we'll just get right down to it. Number 10, now you had a tie, Winston, which is a little bit of a cheat. When you have a tie, you're mentioning two things, which essentially makes the top 10 list a list of 11 different things. But nevertheless, my number 10 is a tie. And the 10th most memorable moment of the year that was, or the year that will soon be, are two things that, like this segment, we do every year. The anniversary show and our Confederate History Month series. This, the 10th most memorable moment for me, in 2009. Winston, the anniversary show that we do every year on the date nearest to our launch date, of course, the Political Cesspool came on the air for the first time. Our first broadcast was October 26th, 2004. And so we always do an anniversary show at or near that anniversary. And during that show, which is a reason it's always so special, is that me and you and Eddie and Bill and now Keith, as he is a member of the hosting staff, we all get together and reflect upon the history of the program, some of our most memorable moments over the entire course of our run, which are because, you know, more and more memories are beginning to pile up. But that's always a lot of fun to reminisce and look back on everything that we've gone through that has made this show what it is. So the anniversary show is always special, whereas tonight we're just focusing – it's a little bit similar, but tonight we're just focusing on the top 10 moments of the year itself instead of the whole run of the show. And then also along those lines, the Confederate History Month series is always very special to me, and we had another great one this year in which we reflect upon the history of the Confederacy. And we have different authors and activists, Southern activists, like Dr. Michael Hill on the show. So those two things are annual mainstays, but they were very good this year. And because of that, they make it to the top 10 list, the anniversary show and Confederate History Month series. And Winston, of course, you've played a role in both of those for quite a few years now yourself.
Well, it's been my pleasure as always. And I'll never forget what impulsed me to approach you about being a co-host. It was the old Prussian Blue controversy that broke out, and one of our own local commentators took that up and did a very poor job with it. Of course, he kowtowed to the politically correct line. But, James, it has been a wonderful time for me being a Political Cesspool co-host. A lot of fond memories. I'll always remember my days in the air chair with great fondness, and mainly because I get to... I've been able to fellowship with good people, not just notable people, but good people. The people that you hear about in the news, yes, they are noteworthy, yes, they are famous, but deep down, they're just common folk like you and I, James. And, you know, at the top of that is you. I want our listeners to know that James Edwards is a very fine man, and I love him like a brother, and I want you to love him like a brother too. This country owes a great debt to James Edwards for carrying the cesspool like he has and for keeping such brilliant co-hosts the way he has. But, James, I just wanted to thank you not just for a good year on the political cesspool, but for a good run on the political cesspool. It's been my honor and my pleasure.
Well, Winston, everything you said, I could echo to you, and it would be 100% sincere. God knows how much I love my brothers here in the political cesspool, and I certainly feel the same way for you as you do for me. I guess if I would return phone calls a little more promptly, I'd be the perfect man, or at least as perfect as you can get on this earthly realm. But no, seriously, it has been a great year. Not that we're reflecting upon something that is over. I mean, it's just the end of a year. We've got a lot of stuff to go, and if I have my way, the 5 years that we've been on the air will be nothing compared to the life this show will continue to lead, hopefully for decades to come. I mean, we're just getting started as far as I'm concerned. But number 10 on the list of the most notable happenings of the cesspool this year, the anniversary show in the Confederate History Month series that we put together every year, very moving. Number 9 on the list, this was something that we just began promoting, but it is something that I think is notable because we've never done it before, and you've heard a lot about it in recent weeks, but... the staff contributed to this, although this was mainly Keith Alexander's baby. It's the Political Cesspool produced booklet, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society. We're in our second printing of this now, and a lot of people are ordering it from our website as a it is our promotion for the Christmas fun drive that we've been having over the course of the last several weeks. But it's great to see, in addition to the commentary that we provide all the issues on the radio, and the coverage we provide certain hot topics on the blog, that we've produced something that people can hold in their hands, and this book is it. So number 9 on the list, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society, the Political Cesspool produced booklet, number 9 on our list of the most memorable occurrences of 2009, getting this produced and printed. Pretty good stuff, Winston, and we'll pick it up there when the political cesspool returns after these commercial breaks, working our way down to number one, 10 most memorable moments of the political cesspool 2009. We're going to let Winston give his thoughts on number nine right after this, when we return in the political cesspool on the Liberty News Radio Network, Saturday, December 26th. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. There's more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Another top 10 list. Now we're talking about the top 10 most memorable moments of 2009 for us here in the political cesspool exclusively. Number 10 for me was a tie between our anniversary show, which we do every year. It was broadcast this year on October 24th. You can look that up in the broadcast archives. And our Confederate History Month series this year, which is a recurring theme throughout the month of April every year for us here in the political cesspool. That was number 10. The ninth most memorable moment for me this year in the political cesspool was the production of our booklet, Liberalism and Its Effects on American Society. Keith Alexander was the spearhead behind that deal. And Winston, your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's an excellent read. When he first handed it to me to take a look at and to offer suggestions, there were really no suggestions I could give. It was just right the way it was, and I encourage everybody to lay hold of a copy. It's right up there with the booklet produced by John Tate, Plain Truth, and you should get it. Keith and I had hoped to set up a more robust publishing arm, but alas, the exigencies of life have prevented that so far. But you know, God willing, perhaps 2010 we'll see the establishment of a very active and vital publishing wing of the political cesspool.
Well, God knows that over the course of the year to come, 2010, there will be many things that occur that will be surprising, that will be exciting, that will be things we couldn't have anticipated, as many things happened this year that certainly fall under the same set of rules. Moving down to number eight now, this is something that I guess my top 10 list might not be the same as everyone else's, or maybe not in the same order, but number 10 for me, you know, I guess anytime Keith Alexander's on the show, it's a top 10 thing, and adding Keith this year is something that was certainly a great move for us, and it certainly bolstered our hosting staff, and I think it's complete now with the quintet that it is, myself and you, Winston, Bill, Eddie, and Keith. But Keith was on a few weeks ago to provide commentary on the movie The Blind Side. Keith loves to talk about movies. And number eight on the list for me was, in researching and preparing for that segment in which Keith and I discussed The Blind Side, I found out that I had been listed as one of the top 10 most famous alumni from Briarcrest High School here in Memphis. So that was a treat for me to be listed there as someone of note for a school that I loved quite a bit. So that was number eight for me this year. I guess that I can cheat a little bit and put that as a memorable moment for the cesspool, since I do business as the cesspool. Would you agree, or is that a point of personal privilege there?
Oh, I would agree with you. I certainly would.
Number seven. Well, this is about to turn into the James Edwards getting excited over things that have happened to him thing, but really the focus on this is the cesspool. Mister. Now, this was a novel that came out by Alex Kurtigick, and he was on the show a few weeks ago. I think shortly before Thanksgiving, something like that. Anyway, this is a excellent novel. Winston, you'll remember that interview fondly because you were on it with me, and this was a great book that has recently been released, and in this book, I have been written in as the fictional governor of Tennessee in the future, and this novel is set, this sets place in the future, and I am elected the governor of Tennessee. So that was the first time any of us have been written into a book, per se, but more importantly than that, that was a great interview and a great book. So being written into a book like that was noteworthy. It gets it on number 7, but let's focus on what's important there, and that is the book itself, and I know you were there for that interview. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, it was a great interview. I enjoyed it very much. And I also have my copy of Mister. As you know, James, I've been traveling quite a bit lately, and I've just started reading it. And I started reading the book Committing Suicide by Andy Nowicki, another author that we had on recently.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, Mister is turning out to be a very absorbing read. I am looking forward to reviewing that on the Political Cesspool. And
yeah, I
not
guess.
Just because of that nefarious governor of Tennessee in there, but because it really is an engaging book. I am pleasantly surprised. It's a big book, and there's a lot to it. And I'm just very proud to have been a part of that interview, and I'm proud to have my copy, and I'll be very proud to present the official Political Cesspool review of Mr. by Alex Kurdjic.
That's something to look forward to in 2010. When can we expect that review to be ready?
Oh, probably sometime in February, I think.
I was going to say, because that book's a couple of thousand pages.
It's a big one.
It's not quite that long, but it's a big one, and I've got it prominently featured on my bookcase at home. Not because I'm written into it, but because I support the man who wrote it. And yeah, I guess he must have liked me a little bit more than Kevin McDonald. Kevin McDonald's like a fugitive in that, or he's in jail, or he's on the lam. So
I can see it happening. I really can. not saying anything bad about Kevin McDonald, but you know, Kevin McDonald is one of those men who has paid the price.
Well, he certainly suffered his fair share of attack for being an honest genius, if you will. And, of course, he has the full support of us on this radio program. Of course, Kevin McDonald, tenured professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, and he's in the book. Everybody you know is in the book. You got to buy Mister if you haven't, and it's available for sale. Just Google Mister by Alex Kurdjic or go to CFCC.org. I think they've got it for sale there at the Council of Conservative Citizens website. But there you have it. Number 7 is our role in the book. The novel, Mister. Number 6, in the most memorable moments of 2009 for us here in the Political Cesspool, was the creation of our Facebook page. This was something I was very excited about. A supporter of this radio program emailed me earlier in the fall, late summer, early fall, and asked why we didn't yet have a presence on Facebook. And the reason is pretty simple. I consider it a victory each day I can check my email. So above and beyond that, I just don't know how to create a Facebook page. I'm the only person in the country in their 20s that either doesn't have a Facebook page or doesn't know how to do it. But anyway, that's where I stood. And we have a great website, thanks to the people who work on that for us. But, you know, you can't have them do everything because they work a lot and they have other jobs too, as we all do. So we have a great website, but we don't have a presence on Facebook. At least we didn't until number 6 happened, and a group of Political Cesspool supporters and fans got it started. And now it's a great place. I visit it daily. I know we're up to several hundred fans on there now, nearly 1,000, and it's only been up there a couple of months. And it hasn't been promoted to the extent that it should, even by us. But it's something that I visit every day. It's something that I'm extremely proud of. And just to see all those faces, that sea of humanity, of European-American humanity, that makes up our fan list on that page is very moving, extremely humbling, and certainly one of the biggest moments of our year to have our own Facebook page and have so many great people on there to support us, Winston.
James, you broke up there. I couldn't quite hear you.
No, I was just saying, you know, it was certainly one of the biggest moments of the year to have that page be made and have so many great people on there who support us and to be able to enjoy that. And
I guess it is. I you know, the social networking sites, I don't have time to indulge them. I have people from my high school who have set up a reunion Facebook, and I don't have time to really get on that. But, you know, I should make a courtesy call to the political cesspool Facebook.
Time out.
That thing up and maintain it.
We got to take a break. But if we don't get all of the hosting staff on there, that's embarrassing. We got to take care of this during the commercial break. We're going to take one. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
We're talking about the top 10 most memorable moments in 2009 for us here in the political cesspool. Number 10 was a tie between our anniversary show broadcast of October 24th. The show which celebrated the anniversary of our birth here in the political cesspool, and Confederate History Month series, the Confederate History Month series we always present to you in April. That was a tie for number 10. Number 9 was the political cesspool-produced booklet, Liberalism, if I can untie my tongue, Liberalism and its Effect on American Society, the production of that, our number 9 most memorable moment of the year. Number 8 was my being listed as one of the top 10 most notable alumni for my high school and being listed there because of my role as a host for this radio program at that. Number 7 was being incorporated into the book Mister, having been elected the governor of Tennessee in the future and written into this excellent novel by Alex Kurtagic, I should say. That is the 7th most memorable moment of our year here in the political cesspool. And before the last break, we were talking about the development and creation of the Political Cesspool's Facebook page. And that's something, again, in all sincerity, we are very, very proud, extremely proud of. Elated to have a presence on Facebook and to have hundreds and hundreds of fans on there following the development of the radio program. If you haven't signed up for that yet, ladies and gentlemen, become one of our fans on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com and search out the Political Cesspool, the Political Cesspool radio program, and join up. Join up and be among that online community of fellow Political Cesspool listeners. And again, thanks goes out, and our most sincere and hearty thanks goes out to the supporters of this radio program, the good people who put that together for us and who continue to administer it, by the way. I mean, that's something that they do on their dime. Day in, day out. So certainly a great task and a labor of love being done there at the Political Cesspool's Facebook page, our number 6 most memorable moment of the year. Number 5 for me, Winston, was occurred, I guess you would say, officially on March 21st of this year. That was when the Political Cesspool debuted on the Liberty News Radio Network. This show, for the first nearly 5 years, was being broadcast online, of course, at our website with our internet simulcast, but was broadcasted for the first nearly 5 years from, it was actually 4 years. We were there just on the AM 1380 and the internet simulcast. Then in September of 2008, we joined the Republic Broadcasting Network, stayed there from September until March. I believe it was March 14th, actually. March 14th was our first show here on Liberty News Radio. So joining this network, Winston, has given us a home, given us a place to grow, and you can't say enough about the great team that we have, that we work here with at Liberty News Radio, and the unconditional support that its owners have given us. You know, we joined this network. We were one of the first shows that were on this network. We were here the day this network went live on the air. And it's exciting to be on the ground level of something and grow as it grows. And you're working in unison with people who are cooperative to your message and to the message of freedom and freedom of speech. And to me. I don't know if that should even be number five. Perhaps that's the biggest thing that happened this year, but joining Liberty News Radio was certainly a monumental day, not only in the year, but in the history of the Political Cesspool Radio program, as far as I'm concerned. Your thoughts on that union, Winston?
I think it's been a very mutually beneficial relationship between us and Liberty News. You know, like any relationship, at first it was a little bit tricky, but not because of personalities or ideology, but just because of technical issues. But we've got those ironed out for the most part, and things are running smoothly. And I too am thankful for the relationship that we have with Liberty News.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you support freedom of speech, you need to support the network that supports freedom of speech. And there aren't many of them out there. And to have a network behind us who gives us the opportunity to reach so many people as Liberty News Radio does, they deserve, if you love this show, you ought to show them the respect that they deserve in giving us a place to broadcast. Liberty News Radio, our home, hopefully our home forever, you know. And it was during the year 2009 that we joined up with Liberty News Radio, and we haven't looked back, and it's been onward and upward and full steam ahead ever since that occurred in March of this year. Number four, as we're getting a little more intense, a little more public here in the top 10 most memorable moments of the year, this actually is something that centers around Winston Smith. And I can remember, it's kind of funny how the worm has turned, how things have flipped. You know, we didn't know to be embarrassed the first night we went on the air back in October of 2004. Back then, if we had 10 people listening to the show, that was 10 more than we had before we started the show. And that's the way we looked at it back then when we first got started. But it was very hard to catch on, as it always is when you're starting something new. And I would practically beg, I begged anyone and everyone to give us publicity. Please help us. I think we're unique. We're this, we're that. We're doing all of this. And, you know, will you please mention us? You know, we couldn't even get a letter to the editor. I mean, there was nothing. No one would cover us. And then all of a sudden, I mean, we just became famous. And a lot of that, again, was due to the attacks that we received for speaking the truth and not bowing to the false gods of political correctness. But my, how things have changed over the course of those last 5 years and change. Now, we are the ones who decline most interviews. In fact, I have declined almost every interview this year. And I'm not talking about from local rags. I'm talking about some of the biggest publications in the world. We won't even talk to them because we don't need to anymore. We don't need them to make us anymore. We have made ourselves. Our listeners have made this radio program a cult phenomenon, and certainly the voice of the conservative right, but more importantly than that, we are our own media now. We don't need other people to give us publicity because we have an audience of our own that numbers into the tens of thousands each week, so we don't need handouts. But it's still interesting when you get asked, when you receive an interview request from a publication like Newsweek. I mean, that is a household name. That can be bought in every supermarket, and it is supposed to be a venerable publication. But nevertheless, Winston Smith getting a quote or being interviewed by Newsweek magazine on behalf of the Political Cesspool, the fourth most memorable moment of the year. And Winston, you can tell him more about that than I could.
Well, I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I was quoted in Newsweek magazine, considering when you think that Newsweek gave us the number one most hateful quote of 2009.
Well, no, I mean, certainly they're anti-white, and they're liberal. I mean, you know, they are a liberal rag for what it's worth, but they're a very venerable liberal rag. I mean, they're respected as much as the mainstream can respect themselves. And I'm talking about, it's not just like a throwaway paper like the Memphis Flyer, for instance, these little throwaway liberal papers that are in every city that they give away at gas stations. I mean, Newsweek magazine is, as far as it's concerned, at the top of its field, and they think we're newsworthy. They come to us for interviews. We're not begging them to give us ink. They're begging us to talk to them. And so you did.
Yeah, I did, and I was glad I did. I was a little skeptical at first because, you know, I pretty much know how we're going to be treated in the American media, save for Paul Azan, who's where you successfully torpedoed.
Thank you, Winston.
I'm sorry.
We all serve our role.
The nice lady who interviewed me for the Newsweek article, she was very polite, and I think if she didn't have to pander to Newsweek's biases, she would be pretty open to thinking about things that she hasn't been able to think about. I appreciated her candor with some things, and well, I'm just glad we got the political cesspool name in Newsweek, and again, it helped us immensely.
Well, when you command a show that commands the attention of publications like Newsweek and the New York Times, who we interviewed with back in November of 2008, and some of these other publications, you begin to become, for lack of a better word, a bit of a celebrity. And as such, we have to take certain precautions from time to time. We don't have a staff who runs around and does our errands for us. We're not so enamored in our own celebrity that we send lackeys to do our bidding. For instance, when I go to the post office, I wear sunshades and a hat, not because I want to shun any fans I might have out there, but more because I don't want to be assassinated. But nevertheless, when I went to mail a letter, and this is a true story, a couple of months after that Newsweek article hit the press, I was mailing letters at the desk. It said political cesspool, and the guy recognized political cesspool from the Newsweek magazine. He asked if I worked for the show. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, continuing on with our countdown of the top 10 most memorable moments in the political cesspool of 2009. Number 10 was a tie between our anniversary show broadcast and our Confederate History Month series. Number 9 was the production of our booklet, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society. Number 8 was my listing as a notable, most famous alumni from Briarcrest Christian High School here in Memphis. Number 7 was the role we played in Mister, the novel that was a 2009 release by Alex Kurtigick. Number 6 was the creation of the Political Cesspool Facebook page. Number 5 was our marriage with Liberty News Radio, which was consummated in March of this year. And number 4, Winston Smith being interviewed on behalf of the show by Newsweek magazine. And as I was telling you, Winston, and I know you have experienced this as well, being out and about and overhearing people here in Memphis talking about the program and conversation, but I think you know you're beginning to catch on with even the uninitiated when you walk into a post office and the clerk recognizes your logo from an interview you did at Newsweek magazine. I mean, this is something that's very rewarding, to know that our work is becoming well known, for better or for worse, and we hope for the better.
Well, it is gratifying, James, to be known. And I told you one time about a little experiment I sometimes conduct when I go to a grocery store or simply start to stand in line with a lot of strangers. I'll start talking with one of my kids about the political cesspool, and then I'll turn to somebody in line and say, "You ever heard of the political cesspool?" And they invariably say, "Yes, they do," and they kind of chuckle, and you can tell that they're listeners, but they don't want to admit it, because let's face it, James, there's a bit of danger involved in what we do. And if you work at a place and word gets out that you listen to the political cesspool, your job is in jeopardy.
Well, it very well could be, but these are the things that we're fighting to change, and this is the reason we do this program, is to make the thought process of true conservatives mainstream again. And it was mainstream for so long in this country, and now it's supposedly politically incorrect to adhere to truly constitutional conservative principles. These are the principles that we espouse, and we will make them mainstream again. And we are becoming more and more mainstream again. You know, when we first came on the scene 5 years ago, you couldn't buy publicity. Now, you know, 5 years and some change later, we're making repeat appearances on CNN. We're getting interviewed by Newsweek, the New York Times, and scores of other lesser-known publications and local markets. I mean, this is as big as it gets, Winston, and this is what we've worked towards, and this is something that our fans and our supporters have enabled us to ascend to. I mean, because of the support of those in our listening audience, we have been able to grow to this extent, which leads us to number three on our top 10 list of most memorable moments in 2009. It was the mentioning that we got in a very big interview, front page, on the Sunday edition of the London Times. This happened earlier this summer, and the London Times, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, is the biggest English-speaking circulated newspaper in the world. And we were mentioned in that article as an influential American radio talk program, and we were mentioned in that article alongside names like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Michael Savage. Now, we normally wouldn't want to share the company with people like that, but when you're written into an article in a paper as large as that, as one of the defining voices of, you know, so-called right-wing radio in America, you'll take that as a compliment any day. Am I wrong?
Oh, you're absolutely correct, James. That's international. That's an international scale, and as you said, that's publicity you can't buy. But the point is not publicity. The point is getting the truth out there. And the Times of London, you know, God bless them, they did us a big favor. We received a lot of emails and a lot of contributions from that. But it's because people are hungry for the truth. It's because people are feeling the stirrings in their soul of nationalism and of racial pride, and they smell the stench of the political correctness that's going on around them. And you know, when the Times of London gives us a bully pulpit, you know, we take it.
Well, and we did take it, and that was something, again, a great, they did it as a jab. They didn't do it to be complimentary. They were lumping us all in a sort of shock jock type of thing, even though that's the last thing we are. That's the last thing we aspire to be. But they were saying that, you know, the American right-wing radio was just shocking. And then they were, you know, they were. The political cesspool right alongside Hannity, Limbaugh, and some of the other guys. These, at least in the minds of the London Times, these are the radio programs who are truly commanding the discourse of conservative talk in America, and we were mentioned in that list. And I think they're right, Winston. I think they're right, and it was nice of them to admit so. Also, you know, this isn't really on the list, but that being mentioned in that publication also gave birth to another interview that we did. The managing editor, or the D.C. bureau chief of Die Zeit newspaper, which is the largest newspaper in Germany, he flew in from Washington, D.C. to interview us for Die Zeit over there. So not only is the political cesspool catching on in America, we're becoming a worldwide phenomenon now. Now, the top two, and we only have a few minutes left. I mentioned number three was our plug in the London Times, the Sunday edition, which is the most widely read English-speaking newspaper in the world. Number two also comes from England, from the United Kingdom, and it occurred on August 8th of this year. This was our interview with Nick Griffin, the chairman of the British National Party, the elected member of European Parliament. Nick Griffin and I have been friends for a number of years. He and I shared a stage together in 2004 at a conference in New Orleans. And even then, he sought me out. And this was at a time when the radio program was very young in its existence. He sought me out even then to tell me what a good job we were doing and how he thought that the British National Party could learn from our example. And years later, he becomes elected to the European Parliament, which is just an astounding victory. He comes back on our show in August, and we're still getting correspondence, listener correspondence from that interview. Certainly one of the biggest moments of the year. And God bless Nick Griffin for all he's done and his great victory over there. Our interview with Nick Griffin, number two. You just can't say enough about it, Winston.
You know, James, Nick Griffin is an electrifying personality by himself. But, you know, when he won his seat in the European Parliament, I got the same feeling that I got on that day when the American people shut down the congressional phone banks protesting the immigration reform bill that they were trying to foist upon the American people. Now, you and I both, we were both kind of depressed that we knew that odious bill was going to pass. But what a difference 24 hours makes. The American people shut it down. And I got the same feeling from Nick Griffin being elected as a member of the European Parliament as I did when the American people defended themselves against their own government. God bless Nick Griffin. He's an excellent man, a man of great character. And as I said earlier about Kevin McDonald, Nick Griffin is one of only a very few men who have the credibility due to a very elite group of people who have paid the price.
Well, and not only has he paid the price, he's honorable and he's loyal. He didn't forget who his friends were after his ascension to European Parliament. He still came back on this program and did so by staying up till midnight, local time over there in the United Kingdom, to appear live on this radio show. Nick Griffin, a great friend of the political cesspool, a great friend to all of us. Number one on the list of the top 10 most memorable moments of this year. Number one on this year's list might be number one overall for me. It was just an absolutely electric and mesmerizing evening when we broadcasted the radio show on Saturday, June the 27th. This was the night when we came to you live from Jackson, Mississippi at the Council of Conservative Citizens 2009 conference. This, the number one most memorable moment of my year here in the political cesspool. That was a night which we were surrounded by over 100 fans. It was a live studio audience, the first time we had ever broadcast the show remotely in front of a live audience. Now, I have done shows on the road before where I've set up a little studio in my hotel room or something of the sort, but never before have we done it in front of a live audience. And if you go back and listen to that show, you can hear the roar of the crowd. Everybody was excited. Cameras were flashing. It just felt like the paparazzi were there. You know, that was the first time I think we've ever seen in person, other than perhaps back in 06 when we made the rally for the Confederate Parks. But that was just an electric night, a night that will live with me forever. And we're going to do it again this year. We're going to have more open mic nights. We're going to do more live remotes. We're going to have an outstanding year for you coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for making 2009 our best year ever, but you haven't seen nothing yet. We're going to come back with great guests next week when we start a new year here in the Political Cesspool 2010. Stick with us, ladies and gentlemen. Support us. Without your support, we don't exist, but with your support, we will continue to climb. We will continue to ascend, and we will take you to places that you never dreamed possible. It is an honor to serve as the voice of the American right, and we are going to continue to do that with honor and valor in 2010. And we will see you next week. For Winston Smith, for Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander, Bill Rowland, the entire staff and crew here, good night and God bless you and Happy New Year. We'll see you next week.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.